College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by newly minted Georgetown head coach Patrick Ewing. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Once again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in the show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Audible. Go to audible.com/CHToday and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Now that we've got you all set up with Audible, let's get in right now to some big thoughts. And my main thing right now when I think about college basketball, and we're going to get into some news and notes later in the show, is what's going on with the NBA draft combine and the opportunities that it really opens up for everybody in college basketball to be involved. And I think the one thing that sometimes is taken for granted, and this is not from personal experience, this is from scenarios where I've worked alongside in broadcasting several people who played in the NBA and played in the NBA for a long time, guys like Wally Szczerbiak, Brendan Haywood, Danny Granger, the list goes on. And they really always talk about how hard it is to be an NBA player and be an NBA player with longevity. Now, this is the situation as is currently constituted. Any college player can put their name into the NBA draft without an agent, and then all of a sudden go through the NBA draft workout situation and potentially the combine if they get an invite and opt to return to school as long as they don't have an agent. And that would also put them in a situation where they maintain all of their college eligibility. But here's the thing that people don't always understand. The NBA draft combine invites generally just a little bit over 60 players. And the list is going to come out this week by the NBA. And I've said this on multiple forums. I have written it. I have talked about it, obviously, on the College Hoops Today podcast, and I've said it on television. If you are an underclassman, and if you are not selected to be a part of the NBA draft combine in Chicago, you should instantaneously go back to school and regain your eligibility, because that means that the people that are making decisions, general managers, executives, NBA player personnel people, they are telling you that they don't deem you as obviously being worthy of being in the NBA for the following year. Now, are there exceptions to the rule? Absolutely. There's always going to be guys who will obviously played in a scenario where they were underlooked entering the combine and then played in an NBA summer league and then wound up making a team. But here are some of the guys that were not invited to the NBA draft combine coming up May 9th through 14th in Chicago. Virginia's London Parentis, Wisconsin's duo of Nigel Hayes and Bronson Koenig, Seton Hall's Angel Delgado, who was pound for pound, inch for inch, probably the best and most productive big man college basketball had last year after Caleb Swanning at Purdue, and Andrew White, who spent his fifth year at Syracuse. Think about the production level of those five players and think about the fact that they were not even invited to go to this year's NBA draft combine. Now, are the new rules for this NBA draft more player friendly? Absolutely. Does it help players like Justin Jackson, who last year went to the NBA draft combine and then realized that he was not ready for the NBA? Yeah. He got good information. He went back to college. He led North Carolina to a national championship. He'll be much better this year after being the ACC Player of the Year during the 16-17 season. But it also creates a false sense of reality for players that obviously are nowhere near ready to be involved in the NBA to put their name in and get a couple of weeks of extra attention. I've said it before. I'll say it again. If you are not invited to the NBA draft combine and you are an underclassman, go back to school immediately. One guy that probably would have been an underclassman who would have been invited to the combine if he left college after his freshman or sophomore year is Georgetown head coach Patrick Ewing. What will the next phase of Georgetown basketball look like? We talked to the aforementioned Patrick Ewing, one of the 50 greatest players of all time, coming up next on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Patrick Ewing was one of the 50 greatest players of all time, spent the last decade and a half as an assistant in the NBA, and now he comes home to his alma mater. The head coach of Georgetown joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And Patrick, how crazy has the last couple of weeks been as you first got the job?
It's been very crazy. You know, as soon as I got the job, I had to run out, trying to get this recruiting stuff on the way. A little bit behind the eight ball with the fact that they let JT3 go so far into the off season, and then they hired me so late. So we're just trying to, get things running.
And you've been through two recruiting periods the past couple weekends. What's the biggest difference you've noticed about prospective athletes now versus maybe when you were playing?
I mean, I'm not even going to say it's different. When I was coming up, AAU wasn't as big as it is right now. But right now, AAU is the dominant source of viewing these kids. So, everyone is there. Everybody's watching. Everybody's, trying to gauge who they're gonna recruit from that pool right there.
You know, there's so many different ancillary things for college athletes to deal with right now. There's the advent of social media. There's obviously the allure of instant gratification. Do you think it's harder to be a college athlete now, maybe, versus when you were playing 30 years ago?
Well, I think so, especially with everything that you just said. Everybody is a reporter right now. Everybody has a camera on his phone that they can record everything and anything that they choose to. When I played, that wasn't the case.
Now, you had the greatest training for something like this ever because you played in New York in the number one media market for so long. How do you think operating in that type of a fishbowl will help you prepare the kids that you coach for that type of ancillary things that's going to come with being a college athlete in 2017?
Well, I mean, I think that, definitely playing in New York has helped me. You have to develop thick skin if you want to be successful in New York or Philadelphia or cities like that. If you want to dominate and be the best player you can in under adverse situation, I was playing in the right city. All you can do is just educate them and teach them the best things, the difference between right and wrong, and hopefully they'll make the right judgment.
Georgetown head coach Patrick Ewing joined John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. So many people, Patrick, knew you as a great player and a great center. I'm curious, though, when did Patrick Ewing, the player, decide that he wanted to be a coach?
that's ironic because I became a coach because, one, Michael Jordan offered me a position in Washington, D.C. when I chose to retire. I chose to retire. I was talking to him, and I'm like, I'm going to retire. I don't know what I want to do yet. Just gonna see. And he came to me with a proposal that, why don't you come to Washington? He was running the Wizards at the time. Come to Washington, try being a coach, see if you like it. If you don't like it, I'll move you to the front office, and you'll try being in the front office. Well, I tried it. I was on Doug Collins' staff. Loved it, and here I am, 15 years later, and I'm still doing it.
Now, Patrick, some people obviously have to work to make a living, but you played in the NBA for so long, you had all these endorsement deals during your Hall of Fame career. Some people want to ride off into the sunset. Why did you decide to put the time in and coach, and obviously you love it, and then ultimately come back and coach in the fishbowl that is college basketball?
Well, it's like this. When I retired, I was, 39. I was still a young man. Still had a lot of life to live. I just didn't want to roll it up and just stop living. I thought that I enjoy having something to do. I enjoy being able to teach these kids, how to play or what my vision of how to play is. And I think that that's why that kept me young. It helps to keep me young. Helps me to keep me young that I can get up, get out of bed, and move around and teach and, you know, learn things and just keep stepping.
Georgetown head coach Patrick Ewing joining John Ralston here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Well, your alma mater has missed the last two NCAA tournaments, and the responsibility for you now is to help Georgetown regain its national prominence. I'm curious, what are your initial thoughts on the pieces that you inherited?
Well, you know, we have our work cut out for us. JT3, I thought he did an outstanding job in his 13 seasons here. He had two bad seasons, and unfortunately, the writing was on the wall. You know, we have our work cut out for us. You know, we have seven or eight guys on the scholarships. We're trying to improve it, trying to add new pieces. So it's going to take some time. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. We have our work cut out for us, and we're just going to keep on grinding and keep on working. And hopefully, you know, in a couple years from now, we'll be great again.
What are the biggest things you think you need to add during the spring recruiting period to have your team more competitive next season in the Big East?
We need to add everything. Add everything. You know, we're not just looking at it as, you know, you add one or two pieces here. We need to add a lot of things. We need size, depth, rim protection, shooting. I think we need everything.
Georgetown is a school that's located in our nation's capital, but obviously I found that the Hoyas brand is as strong as some of the great brands in college basketball. Even though your school is located in the Northeast, how much do you want to extend those borders to the nation when you recruit Georgetown and try and build a program here moving forward?
Well, we've always been a university that's been known not only nationwide but worldwide. I think anywhere in the corner of this earth you go, you talk about Georgetown is known. And I think that the fact that our basketball program has been great for so many years has definitely helped that.
Now, when you were playing, you played in a different conference, the original Big East. We saw the Big East eventually grow to 16 teams, and now it's back to 10, and there's a double round-robin format. As you've assessed this league, what do you think are the biggest differences between this league and the one that you played in?
Well, you know what? I can't even compare them. You know, when I played then was a great league. We had a lot of competition. We had a lot of battles. This league right now, I haven't had the opportunity to compare because we've been so caught up into trying to get out, trying to recruit, trying to add pieces that's going to help us, trying to get guys who are here to stay. So, I mean, all our focus has been on that. When we get a time to calm down and reflect, then I'll start reflecting on the teams that we're going to be facing.
Georgetown head coach Patrick Ewing joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. You played for some of the great coaches in NBA history, Pat Riley, Jeff Van Gundy. You also worked for, obviously, Steve Clifford and Doug Collins, as you mentioned. What elements of those mentors do you think you're going to sprinkle in as you coach here at Georgetown?
Well, that's yet to be determined. They're all great coaches. You know, you're right. I play for a lot of great coaches. I work for a lot of great coaches. There are a lot of things that they do that I'm going to borrow from to add and blend in with my philosophy. Well, to put a finger on it right now, I can't right now. My mind has just been been preoccupied with everything else.
Well, you know, we mentioned obviously what you're preoccupied with right now. What's the biggest thing about college coaching that you learned maybe in the last month that you didn't know prior to accepting the post?
Well, this is when you become a college coach, you're running a major corporation. You're the CEO. That's the one thing I learned. The coaching aspect of it is maybe 30% of it. The other aspect of it is about 70% of it, dealing with the students, dealing with the universities, getting kids in school, keeping kids in school, recruiting, all that stuff is all the other 30%, I mean the other 70%.
Patrick, you know, one of your great rivals, Chris Mullin, is obviously the coach at St. John's. He'll enter his third season next year. In addition to Chris, who I know you reached out to, who else did you reach out to in your kitchen cabinet as you prepared and started to think about, you know, making the jump from the pros to college?
I reached out to Chris, like you said. Diane Marley was another ex-player. reached out to him. Then, you know, other people I know around all around the college game, they may not be head coaches, but assistant coaches. But, you know, just try to get a good flavor of what it would take to be a successful head coach. And, you know, once I got the job, I dove into it, 2 feet.
Well, Patrick, final thing, because I know you're busy. You know, it's been 10 years right now since Georgetown went to a Final Four. It's also 10 years since Georgetown played in the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. For the Hoya fan out there right now, what message of promise do you want to give them that obviously the opportunity to get back among the nation's elite is obviously closer to the present than obviously we've seen in the past?
Well, it's going to take time. You know, it's going to take time. Rome wasn't built in a day. We have our work cut out for us. They need to continue to support us, continue to believe in us, but it's not going to happen overnight.
Well, Patrick, appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. Best of luck in the spring recruiting period, and I'll see you on the recruiting trail this summer.
Thank you, man. Have a good day.
We'd like to thank Georgetown head coach Patrick Ewing for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Once again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, want you to send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them right now. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question comes from Webster, and it's, John, what are your thoughts on Nevada entering next season? Look, I think Nevada, again, is the team to beat in the Mountain West Conference. Nevada, again, set out three players that should have a major impact. A pair of transfers from NC State and Caleb and Cody Martin, and also Purdue's Kendall Stevens. Our next question right now comes from Bryce, and Bryce wants to know, how many games will Shavar Newkirk play in 17-18? That's obviously the talented guard from St. Joe's who was lost this year with a season-ending injury. Look, I have said that when you look at St. Joe's next year, and again, this question is actually from Pete Spiewick, not Bryce, I think St. Joe's could be the sleeper team in the Atlantic 10 if they get healthy, but you have to look at what they lost. Lamar Kimball and Shavar Newkirk suffered, obviously, season-ending injuries, and Pierre Francesco Oliva, who was a key player on St. Joe's Atlantic 10 tournament title team in 2016, missed the entire season. So health, a big reason of concern for St. Joe's next year. And our next question is from Alan D. Miller, and he goes, with Chimezie Metu and Benny Boatwright back, is USC a preseason top 10 team? I think that might be slightly high. I have not went through my entire rankings yet. I will do that on May 25th. Obviously, all underclassmen, as we were talking about earlier in the College Hoops Today podcast, have the ability to go back to school, withdraw from the draft on May 24th. So on May 25th, I will be releasing my new top 25. Definitely top 15, though, for USC. And Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. They are currently offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audible.com/CH today and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible has an outstanding collection of exclusive originals, short stories, and comedy, plus the best of news, podcasts, and more, handpicked and continuously refreshed. You can even switch back and forth between reading and listening to the audiobook across many devices, including Amazon's Kindle and Echo, without ever losing your place or missing a word. So visit audible.com/CH today to enjoy a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/CH today. Now that we've got you set up, and again, that's audible.com/CH today. Now that we've got you all set up with Audible, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one. I talked about USC a little bit in our question and answer portion of the College Hoops Today podcast, and my big thing to watch right now is USC's chemistry. You have to look right now at the teams that have been successful in the NCAA tournament. Only really play seven or eight guys. USC returns and is expected to return their top seven from last season. Add Derek Thornton, obviously the transfer from Duke, Charles O'Bannon Jr., a five-star recruit, McDonald's All-American. You rarely rarely see teams play 9 or 10 guys and have great chemistry. It would not shock me to see Andy Enfield tighten that rotation a bit next season. Nugget number two, is UNLV back? Well, I would say this. The Runnin' Rebels are definitely headed in that direction. A big week for Marvin Menzies and company last week, securing a commitment from Brandon McCoy, a five-star prospect at center, also getting the top JUCO wing in the country. I think you're going to see UNLV be back to respectability next season in the Mountain West. Nugget number three, an update on Kansas transfer Carlton Bragg. He visits Arizona State this week. A couple of things that I have learned according to sources close to the situation. North Carolina State and Xavier no longer recruit Carlton Bragg. Those two schools were in his initial list and top five. Nugget number four, another transfer update. Elijah Brown committed to Oregon late Sunday night, the graduate transfer from New Mexico. This solidifies Oregon's perimeter. Peyton Pritchard will be the starting point guard. Brown is cemented at the two, and Troy Brown, the freshman, five-star recruit, McDonald's All-American, will be at the three, so Oregon reloading in the Great Northwest. Meanwhile, nugget number five, the transfer to watch right now, the rest of the way, in addition to Carlton Bragg, is Texas's Tevin Mack. Remember, he was suspended indefinitely for the second part of the season, but he was a top 50 recruit coming out of high school. Prior to the suspension last year, was averaging 14.8 points and 4.8 rebounds a game. He is somebody that will be really, really in demand, in my opinion, if he got through his off-the-court issues. I'd like to thank again Georgetown head coach Patrick Ewing for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bet time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.